Hello, hello. Welcome to Pilled, where you can join the masses of crypto pilled degens. And if you're not one of them, well, just you wait. I'm your host, Anisha Sankarneni, and this is Pilled.
Hi, Matt. So glad to have you here today on Pilled. How are you doing?
Doing well. Thanks for having me.
I would love to give the audience a little bit of an introduction on you, and I'll introduce myself as well. My name is Anisha, and I'm the host of Pilled, and today we have on Matt, who works at Gauntlet.
Thanks. Yeah, I lead business development at Gauntlet. I've been there for about 6 months now. Previously was at Square, leading an enterprise business development team, and prior to that spent around 8 years in fintech and kind of various roles and companies of different sizes.
I know many people have like different opinions about how you gauge whether you're new to crypto or old to crypto or crypto OG. I personally think I'm still relatively new to crypto, and I don't know if you would categorize yourself as that, but I love to hear about how people first initially got into crypto and what initially pilled them and how they went down the rabbit hole. So what's your story there?
Sure. And yeah, I've been near the space for a number of years, but still feel every day I'm new to crypto based on the speed and innovation of what's going on. I used to work at a company called OnDeck Capital. They were an online small business lender, and this was started there in 2014. But I think it was around 2016, we started working with a company called Spring Labs, which is still around today, and they were putting lending data onto the blockchain. Our CEO knew their founder, so he reached out to me as I was on the partnerships team and said, "Hey, I want you to work with this company." And started looking into what they did and understanding how we could work with them. At the time, I had heard about crypto, had heard about blockchain, but didn't really understand it or know what it was. And so this kind of forced me to start reading a bit more into it. So as I did, just started seeing the technology and understanding, you know, how it could help people. I related it back to the Cyprus bank run that we saw in 2011 and how Bitcoin could have hedged against that. And so I saw something might have been there. I wasn't quite sure what it was, but seemed interesting. Very intrigued enough to play somewhat of the casino that was 2017, buying different altcoins.
Do you remember any of the altcoins you bought back in 2017? Are you holding any of them still?
I am not holding any of them still. Or if I am, they don't actually exist anymore and are absolutely valueless. I think one, when I got into it, there was a coin, Pizza Coin, that I bought, was super excited about. I read a couple docs on them. I thought it was a really cool concept. It was a way to digitize or tokenize ownership of a pizza place.
Interesting. Did you know that there's actually a pizza DAO out there today that like currently exists?
I did not. That's my iteration from then to now. Unfortunately, that one ended up rugging. And so I still in a wallet hold Pizza Coin, but it just is absolutely valueless among the host of others. And so, yeah, rode that wave up and down, got rugged a bunch of times. And so left that experience thinking there is something here, but I don't know quite what it is. And it still feels a little bit too much like a casino for me to drop everything and jump in. And so I took a step back, continued on in my career, stayed in fintech. And I was at Square at the time when DeFi started getting really big. So Compound, people were doing a lot of yield farming in Compound, a lot of recursive borrowing and farming comp tokens. And reading their white paper, I started reading the other white papers that were popping up and having somewhat of a finance background, that started clicking with me. And so I guess this was around early or late 2019. Jumped into comp, started yield farming quite a bit, expanded to other projects, and at some point just had decided I need to work in DeFi. I need to work in crypto and on the forefront of Web3. And once you make that decision, it's really hard to think about anything else.
And I can relate.
I was still doing my job at Square. I really enjoyed Square. It's a great company. And even thought about maybe trying to move to a crypto team there, at least at the time, very Bitcoin focused. And I wanted to expand outwards a little bit and not necessarily have a specific focus. Didn't really find anything that clicked. And then I started speaking with the folks at Gauntlet and was just totally blown away. I mean, everybody truly bought into the mission. The product truly provides a much needed service within DeFi, especially for those of us who are coming from more of a traditional finance or fintech background. And really just the culture and the people is what drew me. And so it became a no-brainer for me to join and have been very happy that I did.
That's incredible. Thank you for sharing your story. So that brings us to where you are today at Gauntlet. And I'd love to dive into a little bit of background on what Gauntlet does and just a little bit more about what you do there and focus on.
Sure. So Gauntlet is a financial modeling platform for DeFi. And so if we break that down or go a level deeper, really is in two products currently, which is our risk management product, which is our core, and incentive optimization. On the risk management side, we are working with money markets such as Compound, Aave, Bankey, and others, and really focusing on helping them find the right balance between capital efficiency and risk management in order to maximize protocol revenue. And we do this doing off-chain agent-based simulation, so actually ingesting all of their contract data into an off-chain simulation environment, along with all full layer one data, to better understand during times of market volatility what different parameters need to be set at in order to ensure that those assets remain solvent. And then when things are a little bit more risk off, how we can optimize for capital efficiency and drive revenue. And so primarily looking at things like liquidator incentives or collateral ratios and setting those on a weekly basis, or bringing those to governance to set on a weekly basis, depending on where our clients are on the decentralization spectrum. Our other product, incentive optimization, is really focused right now on helping AMMs better allocate their emissions in the form of their farming rewards to maximize return on spend and drive either volume or liquidity to translate to revenue for the DAO. That product's a little bit newer for us, but we're finding some early traction there and really just seeing that, you know, AMMs are spending so much money to attract liquidity, to attract volume, but they're not using any majorly quantitative ways to do. So when you think about it from like a traditional business sense, not focusing on the efficiency of your spend is something that could really hurt the longevity of your company. Absolutely. Or in this case, a protocol.
Absolutely. Yeah. Thank you for breaking that down for us. You had spoken to me previously about how Gauntlet focuses on B2DAO kind of model. I think that's really interesting and not something that I'm entirely familiar with. So I'd love to understand a little bit more about what that looks like and how Gauntlet is thinking about selling to DAOs, or why that's the better model or the right fit for you guys to use.
Sure. So when we think about B2DAO and compare it to something traditional, you would compare it to B2B. So typically in an enterprise or a SaaS model, you're selling from business to business, you're selling to a centralized organization that may have one or two decision makers. What we've seen in crypto over the past few years is that DAOs have really gained a lot of prevalence. I think back when Gauntlet started in 2018, there weren't many DAOs. There was MakerDAO, and there was the DAO, which somewhat infamously lived on.
Yeah. Yeah. Which since no longer exists.
Exactly. And I think that left a sour taste in a lot of people's mouths. And they said that DAO experiment was interesting. We don't really know if that's a thing or not. But fast forward a few years later, Compound decided to move. They were among one of the first, and we had been talking to them and figuring out how we could work with them. And they said, well, we're going to decentralize. So we had to figure out how to grow our business, and if that trend continued, have to figure out how we could do this at scale. So we scoped, you know, what this might look like.
Yeah, you had to adapt.
Yeah, exactly. So we really needed to scope what that would look like, how to work for a DAO. And we collaborated a lot with the Compound team, and they were supportive of this as well. So other protocols followed suit. So we were able to develop somewhat of a playbook there on how we do that. And when I think about the defining characteristic of B2DAO, it's just that commercial relationships in this case are voted on by token holders in a DAO. You have to go on chain, get token holders to vote to pay you, renew your contracts, et cetera. So it's quite a different sales cycle than any B2B business has experienced. Because in a traditional finance company, yeah, again, you have a few people making a decision, maybe a few more, versus a DAO just selling to a large number of people with varying degrees of voting power, opinions, expertise, et cetera.
That's so interesting. So if I understood that correctly, you're saying that, let's say, for example, Seed Club may not be your target audience per se, but let's say Seed Club were to be working with Gauntlet or another platform that was selling B2DAO, they would actually have their token holders vote on chain to decide whether or not to renew the contract with that given client, like given platform or Gauntlet or whomever. Is that generally how the B2DAO like model works?
Yeah, because if at that point where people are voting on either contracting or paying vendors, they're that far down the decentralization spectrum to where they're actually voting to unlock funds from the community treasury. So it does take a
Right.
governance vote in order to do that. So yeah, we are going on chain with our proposals, answering questions from the community, getting them more comfortable with what we do because it is a little bit more complex than maybe some other products, and ensuring that our proposals are ROI positive. So when they do think about unlocking those funds to pay us, that they can get a clear sense of what they're going to get for that.
Absolutely. And just to share some context in case any listeners are unaware or maybe missing this context, DAOs are decentralized autonomous organizations that generally operate with governance, which means that token holders, most DAOs have their own individual token, and that grants individuals who hold that token some amount of voting power. Proposals can be made, and people can use their voting power, which they have if they hold tokens, to vote on those proposals, and things can be passed or not passed. And some of the time, this includes whether or not funds from the DAO community treasury are put forth for a certain purpose. In this case with Gauntlet, if they are working in a B2DAO model, DAOs would have a proposal and using governance would decide whether or not to fund a contract with Gauntlet. And so just wanted to like share that context there before we move ahead. My next question is for you. Is what has your experience been with B2DAO, and is Gauntlet the only ones doing that right now?
We're not the only ones, but I would say we are one of the earliest, and the trend is starting to pick up a little bit more. I think what you see here, a good example is a recent proposal on Compound to hire an auditor. So there were several different audit companies that came in, put proposals on chain, and the community voted on which auditor to go with. So we are starting to see a little bit more of that. In terms of our experience selling into DAOs, I would say it's largely been very positive. I think this is still very early and very new, so we're learning quite a bit as we go. And really, what we want to do is continue to drive adoption and understanding, and not only what we do, but also in the DeFi market as a whole. And so, part of going on chain, part of putting proposals up is not only to get these engagements going, but also to help the community better understand who we are and what kind of value we drive. So, I think we want to ensure we're moving as fast as the industry, and we try to stay up to date on any developments in governance. We're a pretty active delegate in governance ourselves, even for protocols that we don't have commercial relationships with. And that kind of helps us keep our ear to the ground on what's going on, and has largely resulted in a very positive experience. And I think when you think about trade-offs with going B2DAO versus maybe going B2B, on the positive side, it is much better for decentralization, giving everybody a proportionate vote in the future of the protocol. But in terms of maybe some of the trade-offs there, because it is such a longer tail of decision makers versus in a centralized organization, it might just be a couple people who have that expertise. You do get a lot of people who maybe don't quite understand what the proposals are, or how to think about those. And I think, again, that's where the education comes in, but can also delay decision-making processes quite a bit. When you start to have different debates on should you hire this vendor or not, and it might be with people who are token holders but aren't exactly sure, one, either how to evaluate it or what an alternative might be. And what we see a lot also going on chain is you might get forum responses or comments against either what we do or against what other vendors are doing when trying to sell to DAOs, but they're not offering necessarily an alternative to that. They might just say, oh, this is too expensive, or oh, we don't want to do this. So I think it's really important also to think about either opportunity cost there or just the general trade-off for them of saying, okay, we're not going to do this, but what are we going to do instead of that? And because of the service we offer, which is risk management and helping protocols find the balance between risk management and capital efficiency, we do feel this is a much needed service. And that's why we do focus quite a bit on showing how our proposals are ROI positive.
Absolutely. Thank you for that very thoughtful, informative answer. But it did raise a couple more questions that I had. You mentioned that you guys are a very active delegate and that allows you to keep your ear to the ground, which I think is incredibly sensible and very effective. In doing so, since the time you've been at Gauntlet, what are some things that you feel like you have been able to gather or learn yourself about governance that you think you may have otherwise not been able to if you guys were less years to?
Yeah, I think that's a great question. think having our ears to the ground better helps us understand different trends in the industry and how people are thinking about larger things like either risk management or quantitative decision making. One thing personally for me that was a little more eye-opening was just how many people do have frameworks to evaluate things like this, at least at a high level, to say, you know, risk management is a much needed function, incentive optimization is a much needed function, and here's why, versus maybe just like negging it, for lack of a better word, or blindly supporting it. So it's been great to engage with people on the forums in an active way, to go back and forth, answer questions, get a little bit more detailed on certain areas of our proposal. And I don't think I quite expected people to get as granular as they are. And I can appreciate it quite a bit, because people are generally taking a very meaningful approach in governance when it comes to the protocols that their token holders are, which they should, and which is what decentralization is, you know, one of the things that it wants to cover.
I think that's really encouraging to see people being active and taking on that responsibility to engage with these proposals and in these communities. I would imagine that's encouraging for you to see as well, being on the other side and being like a potential vendor. The other point that I was curious about was, you did make a fair point about you guys being a risk assessment kind of platform and you providing that. So it is an incredibly important service. And if people were to, you know, vote against a proposal for having you provide that service as a vendor, they may not be providing solutions or alternatives. They might just be saying no. So how do you guys go about thinking how to provide sufficient education or to reach alternatives? It feels like that's a potential problem area. What are your thoughts on how you may address it, or even just provide sufficient education to those who are voting on the proposal to ensure that they are well informed when they're casting their vote?
Sure. We are very active in the communities of our mm-hmm. clients or prospective clients. So we are on the forums. Typically, a handful of Gauntlet folks are signed up, and not only are we posting proposals and answering top line questions, but we're very happy to get granular and detailed when it comes to certain areas of the proposals, especially mm-hmm. if people are really taking the time to dive in and understand it. I think it's one person saying the price is too high, and that's much different than somebody saying, can you explain to me the components of the price and what goes into it and how it could scale over time? And so I think in those types of cases, we're very happy to engage, we're happy to inform, and we're happy to go back and forth there, because it's not just the first response we give. And we're also doing some ad hoc stuff in the background to better support either our proposals or parameter changes we're making within clients we work with already. And again, all kind of rolling back to what Gauntlet's mission statement is, which is driving adoption and understanding in the financial systems of the future. I think if the more education we can promote, the better we feel about that, and the better it works out for governance and our proposals as well.
Yeah, I think that's a very effective way to provide education in a very engaging manner to members of the communities of those clients that you may be bringing on. I guess I'm curious to think about some of the other differences between B2B and B2DAO. If you were to even note key similarities and key differences, what might those be? Aside from the obvious governance voting that you have when it comes to the DAO side of things versus a traditional centralized business, are there any other major similarities or differences that you would highlight?
Yeah, I think as with the decision-making process being probably the biggest difference, there are a lot of similarities when you think about it, because at the end of the day, if you think about a DAO as a company or a collection of decision makers, they're contracting vendors to do different things, the same as a company in the Web2 or traditional world would do as well. That they have their core competencies as a DAO or as a development team. They know what they're good at, and they also know maybe some things they might need help on. And when it comes to running a money market or an AMM, you're really good at your core product. And you might even be good at expanding that product outwards. But one thing you may not want to do is invest in hiring a risk team, invest in building out simulation environments, and invest in really controlling your own risk management. And that's where we come in. We like to think of ourselves as a risk desk for DAOs. Mm-hmm. So similar to what you might see in traditional finance, where like a Goldman or somebody, they all have risk desks. That's where we step in and play that role within DeFi. So I would say in that realm, it's very similar to what you might see selling B2B.
Thank you for that. You also mentioned that one of the drawbacks or potential drawbacks for the B2DAO model is that the decision-making process could potentially take longer, right? There, the need to have the vote on the proposal and have community members engage. And sometimes that takes longer than just a company making like a centralized decision by two or three people who hold that power. And I imagine that there may be instances in which that time factor is incredibly important. And maybe at a certain point, maybe the importance of voting through a government system is actually not as important as having a decision be made sooner. I'm not sure if that's true or not, but I'm curious what your thoughts are about that. Is there any way to have control over the time it takes for a governance proposal to either go through or not, or to speed that process up? Or do you imagine there might be scenarios in which you're like, honestly, B2DAO is great in theory, but if we are not able to have some amount of control over the timeline it could potentially take for a proposal to be voted on, it might just be better for us to switch back to a B2B model.
Yeah, I think we're starting to see within governance, people wanting to innovate it, to your point, to make things a little bit quicker where it needs to be and to slow things down maybe where speed is not of the essence. In terms of what Gauntlet does, we do feel if you are a money market and you need to control your risk function and to control for capital efficiency, in our opinion, you should be working with us as soon as possible to do that. We feel very confident in our product and we do think we are the best in the space. And so therefore, why not get started quickly? I mean, that said, though, these are big decisions. They do require discussion. And while typically within governance, there are, you know, a small concentration of folks who are really understanding what we do at a much deeper level and making those decisions. Again, we want to open this up to token holders. We do want to explain what we do. We think as DeFi gets bigger, those token holders who are in this now and who may not have that quote unquote expertise, but are trying and are actively participating, we'll get there and we'll get that expertise. And we think if we can bring everybody with us and a rising tide lifts all boats, we certainly want to be a participant or a driver in that.
Absolutely.
The flip side of that, I would say, is there are circumstances with clients where we are doing dynamic risk management. So basically to say we are changing risk parameters on a weekly basis in line with different market conditions that we're seeing. In some cases, we put those weekly parameter changes up for governance votes. That creates a little bit less of a dynamic risk management environment versus just being able to, for instance, change those parameters directly ourselves or doing it some kind of risk multi-sig. And so I think that's where we are starting to see advancements be made in certain areas for certain vendors or certain products, to have them be more real-time in nature as they were intended to be.
I think that DAO governance, its speed, whether it can be nimble or not, is going to adapt a lot in the next few months, next couple of years. It's really exciting to see new models like B2DAO come about, and that Gauntlet was among the first to implement that model, and I'm sure that we'll see an increase in prevalence going forward. So thank you for breaking that down with us. And I'd love to have you share a little bit more about the exciting news you alluded to about Gauntlet earlier.
Yeah, absolutely. We just closed our Series B. We raised around $23 million. Thank you. Lead investor was Ribbit Capital. And then we had some current investors follow. And we're super excited about it. We're really excited to align with a brand like Ribbit Capital, who is done so much in fintech and is now, you know, breaking into crypto and Web3. Thinking about where we came from and where we are now, traditional finance and DeFi have very similar properties. As we've been talking about, risk management can and should exist and are top of mind for leading cryptocurrency protocols like Compound, like Aave. DeFi improves on many of the TradFi structures and a lot of those tedious compliance necessities. And in terms of raising this round, we're planning on this putting us into hyper growth. We are a profitable company, and this is going to really allow us to continue to hire, continue to take on more and build out our product suite. Super excited and couldn't be happier to align with our investors and prepare for this next leg of growth.
Yes, absolutely. First of all, huge congratulations to you and the team. I'm really excited for you guys and what's coming up. What are you most excited about for Gauntlet in, let's say, the coming 6 months?
Within the next 6 months, I'm really excited to bring on more folks to Gauntlet. We have a ton of roles open, so I will shamelessly show our careers page if you want to go check that out on our website. We have evergreen recs open for data scientists, for engineers, and then we're hiring for a couple other roles as well. So excited to meet all the new faces that we'll inevitably get to work with. Get more people into crypto, if not already. And in terms of the products itself or the company, it seems like almost on a daily basis, we are making small product innovations in both risk management and incentive optimization that at the end of a week, end of a month, are all rolling into these major moves and product innovations for us. And so I'm really just excited to see where our products are in 6 months and how we've expanded outwards from there. And in terms of incentive optimization, what we're actually optimizing, because incentives are changing so rapidly within protocols, whether you're an AMM, depending on what you do. And so I'm excited to see how we can work more with those companies. And then on the risk side, continuing to find that right balance between risk and capital efficiency, whether for traditional money market or for maybe some of these more complex DeFi mechanisms that we're starting to see across the board.
That's a lot you guys have going on. I'm excited to what ends up playing out and what you learn in the next 6 months. Thank you so much for coming on today. And I'm going to leave you with our last question after talking about crypto for the last half an hour or so. I love asking people what they would pill the audience and myself on that has nothing to do with crypto. If you could choose anything in the world to put us onto, what would it be?
Pickleball.
Pickleball.
I want to put the world on the pickleball. We've all walked by tennis courts and noticed that people aren't using the full court and wondering what they're doing. And as somebody who grew up playing tennis, I was one of those people for a long time until a friend of mine relatively recently invited me to play pickleball with him. And I didn't expect to enjoy it nearly as much as I did. And now I'm just absolutely hooked. And especially... Yeah, especially coming from tennis, you don't have to be in as good shape, which for me is a very good thing, but it's still just as much fun. And so I would highly encourage you, if you haven't yet, to find some people playing pickleball and give it a shot.
Oh my God. Okay, now I have to ask you a couple of follow-on questions. I know I said that was going to be the last question. This is me selfishly asking, as someone that is not very athletic, just how athletic do I need to be to play pickleball? What are the prerequisites? And like, crazy tiny TLDR, what are the rules of the game?
Sure. So in terms of athleticism, I think give it a shot. It's a very small
court. Okay. You believe in me.
I believe in you. I think you can do it. The entry for pickleball is very low and it's very easy to pick up. The rules are somewhat of a mix between ping pong and tennis. And you don't have to worry about anybody like slamming a ball at you too hard, because it is a little bit lighter of a ball. The rackets are a little bit smaller, but you're really focused on the linear progression of starting at the edges of the court and moving towards the net, to where you get into these kind of volley battles back and forth, which can be really fun. And yeah, it just totally hooked me. I would highly encourage you.
Amazing. Thank you so much for sharing that with us. I will sleep on it. I'll think about it. Maybe I will play pickleball soon. I appreciate having you come on. And where can folks find
you? You can find me on Twitter, Matt Dobell, D-O-B-E-L. You can find me roaming various client forums or Discord channels or at your next conference. DMs are open. Feel free to reach out. Happy to have any conversations.
Amazing. Thank you so much, Matt.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
Of course.